This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement is due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the best basketball party anywhere.
A 20-12-5 upset.
I love the 20-12-5.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Allen A Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a fan madness edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue. Hurt and missing work? Insurance companies acting like jerks? Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at warrenallen.com. Allen A, make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at Allen A Sportsbook. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater, and by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Enjoy responsibly. Fan Madness from Allen A on 1080.
God dang, what do you think?
The Fan.
But now to rival the Ducks Roundtable?
I didn't want to say anything.
Oh, my God.
Look, you got to get the sponsors in.
It was Ryan Buckley in charge of both of those opens?
Paying the bills, baby.
He's putting together the Ducks Roundtable Open and our March Madness.
I mean, yes, paying the bills. We love our sponsors, but do they have to be, like,
yes,
all listed?
Like, the answer is yes.
Right before we talk for 17 minutes?
Dude, there was like seven times I went to turn on the mic and I was like, whoop, not over yet.
And nothing rivals the Ducks Roundtable.
No, that's true.
Dude, I just had four lane violations turning on our microphone. I was coming into the key early.
Full start.
Yeah, whoops. Move it back five.
Dude, it's the best thing about Ducks Roundtable. No offense, Buckley, but I love it.
The opener.
I look to see how close I can get to home before the open ends and you guys start your show every Monday.
It is.
It's like solid 2 minutes.
Seriously. I feel like people, if you haven't had the privilege, next year when they do the Ducks Roundtable, do yourself
and
a favor.
It is a privilege.
It is a privilege.
Also,
tune
the Ducks post-game scoreboard show. Both of those opens are like that.
It's like, you feel like when you go to the movies and you sit down for a preview and you're like, dude, we're going to be here a while.
Can we not sprinkle them in? I mean, I don't know. Just an idea.
No.
I mean, sprinkle.
Look at you with some more big ideas. Shut up.
Well, you know what? I know. I just was scalded by Cooley over there. He's like, look at our set. I'm like, yeah, this looks great. Look at the new backdrop. It's awesome. And then I'm like, well, we should have this, this, and this. He's like, yeah, just be appreciative.
You're about to get JFK'd right now. Cooley's just, he's glaring at you.
He just wants me to be appreciative. And,
exactly.
And I am. It's very nice.
Look, just dance, monkey,
if
dance.
If you haven't seen the new backdrop.
It's nice.
It is very nice.
Look, it's silky smooth.
Yeah, very nice. Now, he's a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
And so is Jake. And Jake is here. And Jake does, if you're watching us on YouTube, Jake has that whole thing going.
Yeah.
And he's great. But Jake is from New York, also a Yankee fan. So we have two Yankee fans standing next to our table right here. And Cooley would never do this. You know, when the Royals played the Yankees in the playoffs this past year.
Yeah.
This past fall. And, of course, we talked about it a lot on the show. I talked a lot of trash because, well, I mean, I think it's just my duty as a small market.
You got to get in the kitchen.
Up, little bitch.
Fan.
Let's go.
Yeah, you got to try to get in Yankee fans' kitchen.
Absolutely.
I knew we weren't winning that series. So I talked a lot of S to Jake. And What has occurred because of that is that Jake out here at A&A,
Jakey Poops,
as I call him, he knows nothing about college basketball, and he's not listening to us. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Even though he's within earshot. This is classic Odyssey. Like, yeah. They're all here, but they don't listen.
No.
It's like, well, I could say anything right now, and they wouldn't have any idea.
Pretty much.
So Jakey Poops, uh-oh. Yes.
Did you just, uh-oh, the game, by the way, Kansas-Arkansas just tipped off. It's 2-0. Kansas is shooting a three, and for some reason, Rob felt the need to turn and do an uh-oh.
Well, we were already losing.
He interrupted himself for the big-time 3-2 answer from Hunter
you
Dickinson.
You cannot uh-oh a game
we're losing
that is
again.
45 seconds into it.
We're already down 2.
You're not allowed to do that. You're not
well,
allowed
I just
to, uh-oh.
Did it. Okay, so Jake, because I gave him so much crap about the Yankees Royals series.
And you did. By the way, you went hard on the paint.
I went at him, yeah. Well, he's a young, and I feel like I'm trying to toughen him up.
You went high and
there's
tight.
A little bit of a father figure thing going on here where it's like, come on, toughen up, you little bitch. Anyway, he has placed a spite wager against Kansas tonight.
I love it.
Because he knows I'm here.
That's fantastic.
He is going to rub that in. You know, like the apples. Like, how do you like that?
Yeah, you like
at
apples.
The window. He is going to Matt Damon me.
He's got an Arkansas ticket right now.
Yes. It's in his pocket. He showed it to me. It's Arkansas money line.
Okay.
And it's plus 175. And he is going to slap that right on my forehead when Arkansas wins.
I want some transparency here. Is for years, you know, my school... We don't have a basketball team, but now we're a powerhouse. I mean, for God's sakes.
You guys are good.
We're good. But I have always said, I do not have a college basketball team to root for because we didn't have a basketball team. And I throw all my weight behind your Kansas Jayhawks.
Thank you.
Our Kansas Jayhawks.
Our. Thank you.
Love my Jayhawks, Rock Chalk. I feel like I've been adopted into the Jayhawk family. And I have never, in the 20 years we've been together, outside of when they've played BYU, which is only recently, have I ever rooted against Kansas. And I'm not going to say that I'm rooting against Kansas, because I am not. But if Kansas were to lose, the only solace would be to see Jakey Poops slap that ticket down, that spite ticket down in front of you. You got to admit.
He's got one on me.
You got to admit. Even if that happened, as upset as you'd be like, all right, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a smart move.
It's well played.
Unless he loses.
Yes.
And then you better believe I'm conjuring up some stuff
in my
head.
You're going right back.
When he loses.
Yes.
Idiot. I don't know how much he bet on it, but Kansas is already getting blown out.
Well, I'll tell you what.
God.
What's their blowout? What is it, 6-3?
I hate them.
Spite bets, by the way, should only be... You can't spite bet more than a sawbuck. $10 is the most you should bet on a spite.
Jake,
on a spite.
How much was your bet? How much was your KU bet?
How much was your spite bet?
Your Arkansas bet.
$10.
See? Sawbuck.
10 to win $17.50.
Yeah. See, that's an appropriate spite bet is $10. Anything more than a $10 spite bet, now you're just entering silly territory. Don't do that.
Well, I appreciate it. All right, coming up next, let's take a look at this Michigan OC. He is in some hot, or former Michigan OC, in some hot water. Next on The Fan. You are a Vancouverite.
I am.
How does becoming the second largest city in Washington sound to you?
I like it. I heard this today. I was seeing it. And quite frankly, I'm walking a little prouder today. I think right now we're fourth. And quite frankly, it's unacceptable.
So Tacoma, Seattle, Tacoma.
Spokane,
and then Vancouver.
Yeah, but we're right behind, and that's about to change.
It is about to change. Yeah. I like what you guys are doing up there.
Hey, we're doing good things out in the Coos.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time, the Vantucky thing, we were mocked.
You were.
But
not anymore.
No. There's a lot of, for the first time in my life, people are starting to come over from Portland.
Yep.
To come over to Vancouver to see what we got going on. The new waterfront.
And, that's right.
You know.
Hey, I have a little bit of breaking news.
Yeah.
Meatball.
Yeah.
My son.
Your son.
He and his fiance have purchased a home in Vancouver.
Yeah. How does it feel to be,
how
to
about
be
that?
Chosen second?
Hey, that's fine with me. It's Come a great on. Little house.
Yeah.
You know, their first home.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for them. They close next week.
Don't worry. Anytime they make any sort of big purchase, they'll still drive over in Portland to buy it. That's what I feel terrible about. Like, anyone that owns a business in Vancouver, if you're selling something over, like, $200 bucks. I feel terrible for you.
Well, but if you're, but can't you get it? Oh, you're right. Yeah. So if you're from Oregon,
yeah,
and you buy something in Washington, you can show your.
I think you can still do that. I know there's been some talk about trying to eliminate that, but I don't. I think you can still do it.
So if I buy a car in Washington, I can still show them
yes.
that I'm from Oregon and not pay the sales tax.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, that's where your car is registered. That doesn't matter.
Okay.
But if you're from Washington, like
if you bought
my car in Portland, you know, but I still had to deal with Washington sales tax.
Why?
Because I live in Washington.
Yeah, they don't.
No. So even though
they don't just let everyone come to Oregon and buy everything.
No. So even though that's
damn it.
Like with a TV. Like,
God.
Like there's a Costco that's like 2 minutes from my house.
Kansas sucks.
It's 12.5, by the way. But I mean, this is just terrible. But if I'm buying a $1,000 TV, I'm going to drive the extra 8 minutes to the Costco across the bridge.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a car, even though the car dealership that I bought it from is in Portland, because I'm a Washington resident and I'm registering the car, I had to pay Washington tax. So
get this story.
Some things they still get you on.
The former co-offensive coordinator for Michigan football has been charged with hacking into thousands of athlete and alumni accounts and downloading private data, including intimate photos, over an 8-year span.
Yeah, so this came out a while ago when he got fired, and everyone was speculating why he was hacking into people's accounts. And so some people thought maybe it was, you know, it was a recruiting thing, and maybe he was trying to get, like, info on people and that sort of thing. Turns out the dude's just an effing perv. His main thing was he was trying to get female athletes, and he was trying to get their nudes, and then was, like, stockpiling them.
Yeah. His name is Matthew Wise. He is 42 years old. Now, when he got fired, because they fired him early on in
yes.
the, I feel like,
yes.
if I'm, this may be revisionist history.
No, they fired him a while
they
ago.
They fired him early on in the whole Jim Harbaugh thing.
Yes.
We thought maybe, oh, that's just the fall guy.
Sure.
Right? We don't really know what he was doing, but he's going to take the fall.
Yeah.
Well, now we're finding out why he was fired. He's been indicted.
Oh, yeah.
So he was also the quarterback's coach. He gained unauthorized access to a student-athlete database of over 100 colleges and universities and downloaded the personal, identifiable information and medical data of over 150,000 athletes.
Yeah.
And the feds.
Yeah, you can't do that.
This is not a state thing.
No.
He's been indicted on the federal level.
Yeah, he's in some trouble.
He's been charged with 24 counts, 14 of unauthorized access to computers, 10 counts of aggravated identity theft, and apparently he used the data and internet research to obtain access to social media, email, and cloud storage accounts of more than 2,000 athletes, and he hacked in to their passwords, which, by the way, I got to give him
some credit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to do that.
I don't either.
No.
And I feel
that's
like
the Mr. Robot stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the Russians and stuff, not just some offensive coordinator at Michigan. But he was able to do that.
First off, I'm stunned. There has to be more people involved in this, but and it's not just for the sake of getting nudes. I'm sure there were some others part to it, but the fact that they found a bunch of intimate photos that he was storing, I mean, my God.
Yeah.
My man.
So you think that was the sole purpose?
I don't think so. I think there
was
some other.
What was the sole purpose?
I mean, the idea of, like, medical, I still have to believe when this all comes out in the wash that there has to be some sort of competitive advantage, right? Whether it's recruiting or whether it's medical information for opponents, there has to be something else. Why would you go to this length to get, like, nudes? Like, seems odd.
I'm with you. I think it feels like this was something that started with football.
Yeah, and then just kind of branched.
And then he realized, college girls?
Mm.
College athletes?
Yeah, it's possible. Once you start, and it's like anything else, right? You start off maybe reading people's emails, reading people's accounts to try to get some sort of dirt, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it starts out as a recruiting thing. Maybe it starts out as a leverage thing. Maybe it starts out of, I'm just trying to understand what people are thinking. Maybe even people on my own team, right? What are people saying back and forth? And you just go down that wormhole or the rabbit hole, and before you know it, you know, it just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. But for something to be that big, I gotta believe there's some other motive than just being a perv. Although, let's say this, never underestimate pervs. Never, never, never underestimate the ability of grown men to be dirty bastards.
But once you get access to something for another reason, and then you realize you can use it for pervy reasons,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, my gosh, I'm a filthy bastard.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So he then downloaded personal, intimate photos and videos that were never intended to be shared beyond intimate partners. So this is where I was saying he hacked into passwords. In addition to personally identifiable information and medical data of over 150,000 athletes.
That's crazy.
He downloaded athletes' passwords by cracking encryption protection on the passwords, which that, like, how do you even do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it did say, the one article I read, the indictment, it... One of the quotes that the government's using is that they're calling him a computer whiz. Mm. They're saying that I don't know if he had help, but they are saying that this is not something that just anyone could do. They're saying this was really advanced stuff. Did you also see when he was going back and making notes on the nude videos and photos?
No.
So I guess he had files that were sorted, private files, so very sexual, explicit images and videos. And then he was going and he was keeping notes on these things. Notes is, he was making comments. He was sorting people by body parts, by what? Body size,
what?
By sexual preferences. Yeah, dude.
Sexual how does he even know that? Well, I guess.
Well, the videos.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he kept notes. Yeah, kept notes on photos and videos that he downloaded, commenting on bodies, sexual preferences, sometimes returning years later to look for new images.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him for that.
So, I mean, it's... So whether or not this was explicitly about getting nudes and all that stuff, I'll tell you what, it certainly, he was circling back to that. You know, if you're making notes to be like, hey, you know, Michigan State volleyball player, check back later for new, you know, I mean, dude, he's going to jail for a long, long time.
Okay, so one last thing on this. I know we got to go. In the news is next, but they're saying that he only faces 5 years in prison.
How is that even possible?
And I want you, for those of you that didn't hear our club last night, we were talking about the Netflix, the director who ripped off Netflix for like, what is it, like $11,000 or something?
Oh, no, it was $11 million.
Or, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. $11 million.
Yeah.
He took a bunch of money that they gave him to do a series. He didn't do the series. He took the money.
Just took the money.
That Netflix guy, or the director, faces 90 years in prison. This guy...
Cross state lines,
faces
federal crimes?
Five.
I don't know how that's possible.
What the hell?
I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what. The guy's lucky that they're college, and seemingly everyone's over 18. Because if you imagine if this was a couple of people that were 17 and were under the age of 18, then you could get into some real problems.
Dude.
But, dude, this guy,
nuts.
And he was an assistant coach for the Ravens for years and years. I mean, this was a really respected member of the football community.
Is he coaching now?
No. No.
Matthew Wise is his name. Former Michigan offensive coordinator indicted on 24 counts.
Yeah.
Or charged with 24 counts.
It's going to be hard to defend that one. We're like, would you like to explain these files? Like,
And now, of course, Jim Harbaugh can go, what? I had no idea.
This guy.
Look at this guy. Can you believe this guy?
It's ridiculous.
All right, in the news is next. How does the second largest city in Washington sound? To you, Vancouverites.
Pretty good.
That's next on The Fan. Here's Buck. Yeah, that's what's up. We're out here at A&A drinking and talking sports.
That's what's in.
The Stadium Sports Bar and Grill here at A&A, where they got all the screens and the chairs and the things and the basketballs and the things. And then you can bet on the sports over there at the Sportsbook right across the way from us
it
here.
It really is the perfect venue to watch a tournament like this.
Pretty amazing. Right now on our show, it is March 20, 2025. It is time for In the News. I am your noted and humbled newsman. It's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is Atheist Pride Day.
Hey, there you go.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I'm proud.
Welcome to your world. What do you always say? Like Christians believe in one God, you just go one step further?
Well, no. Pretty much everyone in humanity that believes in a God is right Wait, what do I say?
You had that. You have that where everyone, like, if you believe in a god, whatever that god is, you don't believe you don't believe in any other god. You just go one step further.
Yeah, I have it written down. Let me get this right.
Yeah,
I should know this.
I was gonna say you throw that out there from time to time.
I know. Here's what it is. I wrote it in. I have it in. I saw this in a book, and I love it.
Yeah,
because it's right. We are all atheists regarding 99% of God's humanity. We are all atheists regarding 99% of God's humanity has faith in.
There you go.
Some of us just go one God further.
There you go. That's
thank
what
you.
It is.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We got there.
I'm glad that you had that there so that we could give an accurate quote.
Yeah, no, I have it in my notes. I have quotes in my... I love quotes.
I like that it's just... Well, quotes are great.
Quotes are great.
Yeah.
And I write down things that I... Because it used to be that people would highlight things in a book. Like, you read a book and you highlight it.
Sure.
I... Now, in technology age, anything I read or see that I really like and I want to reference back to, I put it in my notes app on my phone.
Oh.
And it came in handy on the radio show today.
That's not a bad idea.
Do you think Jake's sweating right now?
Jakey poops.
You sweating your $10? He says it's still
25-26. I think there's time.
Are we winning?
Yeah, Kansas is up by one.
Nice. It is also absolutely incredible kid day.
Oh.
Do you have absolutely incredible kids?
Absolutely?
Yeah.
I think I have good kids. What defines an incredible kid?
Absolutely incredible.
That's a high bar.
It is, but most parents believe that their kids are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is most parents are morons. I'm realistic. So if you're saying absolutely incredible, that means no one could possibly doubt that my kids aren't incredible.
It is absolute.
And I have to say all three of my kids are absolutely incredible?
Well, there could be just one of them.
That's a high standard. It's a high standard. I don't know if I'm ready
you're
to go
gonna
there.
You're going
to
say no?
It's a high bar.
Okay.
It's a high bar.
All right. Well, if they were absolutely incredible,
yeah,
it is their day.
Mm.
Or if it's you.
I don't
think it is.
I don't think any of... I have two parents living, and I'm fairly certain that neither one of them would define me as absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No. Of the siblings, the three of us, I'm sure that I am not the one that is getting the absolutely incredible. I can assure you of that.
Well, the city of Vancouver's population could grow significantly in the near future.
Yes.
During a Vancouver City Council workshop on Monday, Chief Financial Officer Natasha Ramras.
Sure.
Ram.
How about just Natasha?
Well, her name is spelled, her last name is spelled Ramras.
I think we're just going with Natasha.
How should we pronounce that?
Ramras.
I'm sticking with Natasha.
Natasha Ramras.
There you go.
Presented leaders with four different options for annexation.
Yes.
You have annexation in your...
Look, we're taking over.
On the bingo card?
We're seeing what the Russians are doing, and we're like, you know what? We're doing it, too. We're coming for you. Even though the people that we're annexing are basically part of Vancouver, we're just trying to expand the city limits.
Well, this makes sense to me. What they're talking about here is the urban growth area, which is sort of outside of Vancouver, but...
It's
just grown beyond the city limits of Vancouver.
Yes.
The city is wanting to gobble that up. Yeah. And when you gobble that up, shockingly, you make more money because all those people pay property taxes and such.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you do have services that you have to pay for, like fire and water.
Yeah, you got to hire more people. You know, So it's
they're doing the math.
So and right now they have said that there's, what, five expansion plans?
This one says three.
Three.
No, four. Sorry, four.
Four. Okay, so we'll split the difference. So there's four expansion plans. The problem is all of the expansion plans except for, I think, the smallest one, it would actually, at the beginning, it would run a deficit. It would cost more money at the beginning of it by, I don't know, somewhere between $10 and $50 million. It would cost more in extra services than we'd get back in money. And then, but other people are saying it's an investment, and eventually that will come back to us.
Correct.
Some people are saying expand by the biggest. Just do it right now because eventually it's going to get there anyways. So they're going to expand. It's just at which level do you expand? One, two, three, or four?
Yeah, they're saying three of the four scenarios would make the city of Vancouver, Washington's second biggest city after Seattle. And, of course...
Right now you have Tacoma and Spokane.
Yeah, those are ahead of it. But the mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, you know, did you have a Mayor Pro Tem? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
You did not?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't either. His name is Eric Paulson. He noted that annexation would come with benefits like a stronger voice at Washington's capital and a stronger influence in the metro area, but he said that the decision is not an opportunity just to get bigger for the sake of getting bigger. Those benefits would be knock-on benefits, but those are not reasons to do this kind of thing. We do have to be judicious about the financial aspects as well as the impact to the services of our existing residents. So they don't want to just do it just to do it.
Yeah.
They want to do it to make massive quantities of money, raise your property taxes, drive you out of Vancouver into Yakima.
There is... Vancouver is growing. Everyone knows it's growing. It's just a matter of now, you know, what sort of swinge do you want to take?
Yeah, I like it. I like what you guys are doing up there.
You're doing a nice job.
You guys are smart.
Yeah.
I mean, not you, but...
Well, we've evolved past, I think, the Vantucky thing.
Yeah.
That was...
Man!
It's getting better.
Some of it.
It's getting better. So we're soon to be, potentially, the second or the third biggest city in the state of Washington. So look at us grow.
Isn't that exciting?
Little old Vancouver.
Yeah. Who knew?
Well, like I said, for the first time in my life, I've actually seen people that are moving from Portland over into Vancouver.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's cheaper.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
And it's not. I mean, it used to be that if you moved over there, yes, it was cheaper, but you wouldn't have, I mean, you just live in Vancouver versus Portland.
You didn't have the amenities.
It was worse.
Yeah.
But now, it's not.
No, we're getting nicer restaurants. We're getting nicer hotels. There's more nightlife over there. And for a lot of people, you get that. And then if you want to go into Portland, it's an extra 10-minute drive.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of my whole thing. I spend the vast majority of my entertainment dollar in Portland. I spend the vast majority of my free time in Portland. But, you know, I'm a Vancouver resident. But also, I live right across the bridge. There's a difference between living on the outskirts of Vancouver and where I live.
Yeah. Well, things are looking up for you Vancouverites up there.
Feel pretty good.
All right, coming up next, we have a terrifying tale from Washougal, and we had a car fall from a parking structure. I don't understand how this happened.
No, I don't either, but it's scary. I don't like this at all.
That happened. We'll get to those items next on The Fan. Well, I don't know if it's just because I live here, but on Twitter, Portland is trending, and I don't want to click on that.
Simply because of you?
Well, I don't know. I'm saying it's trending, and I don't want to click on it to find out why.
Well, I will tell you that if you personally or a place you love or a thing you love is ever trending, it's
terrifying.
It's not good
to click on it.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I'm going to click on it.
No, it's Portland isn't trending, and then like the headline is world's greatest city. Portland.
No.
The sad part is when you do click on it, half the time you don't know why it's trending.
Yeah,
you can spend like 3 minutes and you're like, I don't know why this is trending.
I just clicked on it and
No one knows.
Really know why it's trending.
Well, welcome.
So maybe that's just for me.
Welcome to Twitter.
Okay, this is In the News, March 20, 2025. We've got a scary story out of Washougal now. I'm going to tread lightly here because... unfortunately, everything is behind an effing paywall.
Oh, for God's sakes.
But there is a story here about a Washougal student who received explicit messages from an account that was from a teacher, but it was a fake teacher account. In other words, somebody impersonated a teacher at the Washougal school where this student went to school and sent explicit messages to them.
Oh,
that's terrifying.
That is no good.
So it was not the real teacher. It was a fake account by someone else of the teacher who sent the explicit messages to the student.
Well, I guess in the grand scheme of things, that's better than it being the real teacher.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Although, can you imagine? Do we know, was this sent to a male or female?
We don't know. Again, we are blocked by paywalls.
Blocked by paywall.
And I refuse to pay.
I was going to say, imagine little Isaac Ropp, 15-year-old Isaac Ropp, freshman, Salina, Kansas.
Yeah.
And you receive...
I can picture him now.
And you receive nudes from a teacher, one of your teachers. That will either be the greatest or the worst day of your life, depending on who that teacher was.
Well, that's fair.
That's fair.
If it were Mr. Lavolo, I would not have been happy.
Exactly. But it had been like Miss Johnson. Maybe.
It was Miss Johnson. That's Now, I didn't have her, but she was the hottest teacher in the school. She was an English teacher.
I think it also matters whether or not it was a boy or a girl that was receiving said messages. But also, that's pretty diabolical because now some teacher's reputation is ruined and they didn't do a damn thing.
So I got the story pulled up here.
You found a way around the paywall?
I did, yeah. I pulled it up through Twitter, and it worked.
Oh, look at you.
It doesn't say.
We don't know.
Boy or girl, it doesn't say.
I mean, it's probably privacy because you're dealing with a minor, but...
Yeah.
So this is a new thing now that we're catfishing students with explicit images of fake teachers?
Yeah, like, who's that worse for? Is that worse for the teacher or the student?
I just think that's...
I think that's worse for the...
It's the teacher.
Teacher?
I would assume. It's just bad all around. Because look, by the time you end up clearing your name, that thing is still out there. Hopefully that teacher's reputation isn't completely ruined. It's also bad for the kid that I'm sure that's pretty confusing for the child. Because one, they're receiving adult porn and they're underage. And two, they think for a brief moment at least that it's coming from a trusted teacher. How about we just say this? Anyone doing that, you're a son of a bitch. Like, that's just an awful thing to do. And you're just doing it, why, to ruin lives? You're just doing it for, like, ha-ha, tee-hee? That's bad stuff. But the world's full of terrible people.
Yeah.
Scary things.
I don't know why you would do that.
I don't know why people do a lot of things. I read stuff in the news every day that makes me scratch my head.
Your big bald head.
Well, there was a kid, this is my noted news contributor side of me. There was a child that died of the measles outbreak down in Texas.
Yeah.
And the parents came out of the dead child.
Uh-oh.
The ones that didn't vaccinate that child and still told everybody, don't vaccinate your child. Because their other kids, Isaac, did not die of measles. They had mild cases of it. And even though they got sick, no one died. So they still think that it was worth it to not give their kids the measles shots, even though one of their kids died. They literally filmed a PSA for an anti-vax site, even though one of their children died of the measles.
Huh.
Chalk that up to what the hell?
I will chalk that up to what the hell.
You had
and it just goes to show you. You just can't change people's minds about things.
No.
Like, they just... They're just going to think what they think.
Yeah. This was a quote from the mother about her child, her daughter, that, again, is dead. She's better off now where she is versus all the negativity and the stuff that's going on. I wouldn't change a thing.
Wow.
She killed her child.
That's wild.
By not vaccinating her and doesn't regret it.
Do you think she even knows that, though? Like, she probably doesn't know that part of it.
I'm just saying.
You'd have to explain it to her like she's four.
If your child dies...
God bless America.
Because you refuse to vaccinate it, and then you film a PSA telling other parents, don't vaccinate your child. Yeah. That's a... God bless.
Kansas getting blown out.
By
it's
three?
Over.
40-43?
So bad. Look at that. So bad.
Down by three with 2 minutes left to play in the first half. There's no way they could come back.
Horrific team.
Yeah.
Portland Fire and Rescue crews responded Wednesday to a minivan that had flipped onto its roof near Northeast Sandy and Northeast 83rd.
That's not good.
Initial reports indicate the minivan may have fallen from an elevated parking structure onto an SUV in the parking lot below. Now, can you please explain to me how this happens?
The only thing I can think of is if maybe you were trying to do like a cool Smokey and the Bandit, like two wheels sort of thing, you know? But then I realized you were in a minivan. And why would anyone try to do anything cool in a minivan? I don't know how you fall from a parking structure.
That's crazy.
I would assume that you have to do something really idiotic.
Yeah.
In order to get enough momentum to go over a parking structure, but...
Well, those all have big, giant...
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there's no way... Like, how do you...
I think you're... Maybe you're doing... Is it possible that someone was doing cookies, whipping donuts in a parking structure in a minivan? Like, I would assume you had to get going at a high rate of speed in order to get over that. But the idea that it's a minivan, if you would have told me this was a Corvette or something, I'd be like, all right, that makes sense. But a minivan? Who's whipping cookies in a Plymouth Voyager?
Tell me if you think this is a weird line. Portland Fire and Rescue added on their social media, patient has been extricated and is being packaged for ambulance transport.
Seems like a weird way to put it, but... you know. My buddy that's a cop says that that's the car, when they have to pull someone out of a vehicle, it's the car giving birth. I've never heard the packaging, though.
They're packaging them.
Well, I mean, I guess you're putting them on the gurney and you got to strap them in and, you know, maybe brace the neck.
Shove them in a suitcase?
I guess that could be considered packaging. I just feel it's a little insensitive. Although maybe, is it possible the person was so dumb for flipping a minivan off a parking structure that they're not really taking into consideration anyone's feelings?
Yeah, it's possible.
You know.
Well, they're saying only one person was involved, but there were apparently there were two people in the minivan. Well, I don't know. No one died.
I've got my fingers crossed because I would assume there's cameras, and I would like to see what happened to cause a minivan to go over.
Yeah, I don't care about the people.
Yeah, just
what the hell happened?
Let's see the video.
That is in the news, March 20, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Get you caught up on March Madness and a record-setting franchise sale in the United States. Coming up next in the Hot 5 at 5 on The Fan.